With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast, hour number three. Here on a Wednesday, Carver High and the Prime Minister Cam Stewart in for Scotty. Scotty will be back next week after the 4th of Pharrell. A lot to do this hour. We've got some NBA and NHL news. We've got Keith Stewart from Read the Line with his picks for the tractor tournament, the John Deere. Got some soccer tonight as well. We're really enthralled with this Wimbledon match between Fritz and Diallo. USA and Canada going at it. They should be going at it in soccer tonight, but Canada couldn't beat Guatemala in penalty kicks the other night. So instead, we only have to settle for Fritz and Diallo and Yankees Blue Jays for a little USA versus Canada flavor here before the fourth. All right, Cam, I told you I would finish off the baseball by sliding you the long balls for tonight. We had a good start to the week, and then last night we had a little bit of a speed bump, so hopefully we can get things cracking again tonight. I told you before I want to go after this junk on the Marlins here, and I think, you know, that game could get a lot of runs. Byron Buxton, I usually don't go this low on the price changing, Cam. I usually stick, you know, 400 or more. I like to give some big numbers, but I think Buxton absolutely goes yard tonight off this junk. Plus 320 for him in Miami. Big fly, Cam Smith. And last night was a better number.
The
You're raising the number so
from
low
Australia?
Tonight. No,
with the bad
him.
Hair?
Not him. Cam Smith from the Astros against Gaskin and Gomber. Plus four bills for him this evening. Tanner Bibee on the mound at Wrigley Field. I don't care which way the wind's blowing. We're going to go a little PCA. The Crow flies to right field, hopefully off the scoreboard. Plus 450 for Pete Crow Armstrong. How about Addison Barger tonight, Cam, against Will Warren? Plus 470 for Barger. And late night, Ketel Marte off of Raup. Now, there's a lot of good history in that game. Adames destroys Merrill Lynch Kelly. Yastrzemski destroys Merrill Lynch Kelly. Marte, good numbers. We could get a bunch of guys. I think that Giant Diamondback game, we can get some long balls again. But I like the price on Marte. Guy you usually get between 375 and 4. You're getting them for 5 tonight, so let's do it. Buxton, Smith, PCA, Barger, and Marte. Wednesday night, big fly for us.
I love it, Carver.
Big fly.
I was actually, Barger, plus 470? I can buy into that, too. I like your picks.
So we'll have to put Barger or PCA with Patrick Reed to win the BMW over on the DP World Tour. We'll have to get one of those. Put it with the golf for tonight, that's for sure. All right, some other things. NBA, obviously we've done a lot of free agency over the past few days, but we've also been waiting for the Knicks to hire a coach. Looks like that is finally going to happen. Some find it uninspiring. Some think that it's a good move. But it will be Mike Brown. Of course, he was with Sacramento, got chopped in the middle of this past season. He's been at a lot of places, Cleveland, the Lakers, Warriors was in there when Kerr was out. So Mike Brown will be the next head coach. Now, a little uninspiring, Cam, maybe. You're going to tell me, is that an upgrade over Tom Thibodeau? Probably not. But I think we need to remember here what the Knicks are looking for. Nobody in the Knick organization talks. You don't hear from Leon Rose. You don't hear from Dolan. You don't hear from anybody. The head coach needs to be, and this is very, I kind of similar this to what the Yankees did with Boone when the Yankees let Girardi go and they put Boone in there. Now, Girardi won a title, so it was a little bit different in that aspect. But Boone was a media guy. And he came in, he's great with the media, hugs and kisses, whereas Girardi was a little rough under the edges, you know, get a little bristly with the media. I think this is a little similar. I think Tibbs, a little rough with the media, doesn't give you much. Brown's going to come in, big smile on his face, always got a lot to say, big quotes. But really, Cam, what matters is on the court. And is he going to get it done there? I think that's what it all comes down to.
Good call by you, Carver, and that's what they need. You're right. But that's the one thing about Tibbs. You can say whatever, and the Knicks overachieved, but he runs his starters into the ground, and I don't know how Brown's going to manage that, but I do agree with everything you're saying. You need a positive voice. He seems like a good man, and Tibbs could be very prickly. So I agree with everything that you're saying about the hire. Is it inspiring? No, Brown's been around that around the game, but hey, winning will solve everything, right? But that's the thing. How are you going to handle the minutes of your guys? Because we know one thing about Thibodeau. He runs players into the ground, and over time, they get a little bit tired.
Well, look, I think that this was not the Knicks' plan when they overreacted and fired Thibodeau after losing to the Pacers. I think that when they fired Thibodeau, I think that they thought they were going to get one of those guys who's currently coaching another team. I think they thought that they would get Jason Kidd. They thought there was a chance they could pry someone from somewhere else. This is probably like plan E or F for the Knicks in terms of when they first sat down and said, we're going to let Tibbs go. I don't think they thought they would get this far down the list, but that's what happened.
They also didn't realize how good the Pacers were. They fired Thibodeau and the Pacers bring OKC to the brink. Like, they played good. They're a good basketball team, right? So it's one of those situations like, oh, we can't as the New York Knicks lose to the Pacers. Well, the Pacers are pretty damn good. And Oklahoma City throttled everybody, and the Pacers gave them a great NBA final. So, well said, Carver. It's not the first choice, but I'm cheering for Brown. He seems like a good guy.
He is a good guy. This is not, you know, people would question his record as a coach, which is, you know, hits and misses here and there. But we'll see. The Knicks have added some bench pieces over the past few days, as we talked about. We'll see if this could put him over the top. I think Fritz just went up 3-2 in that fifth set, Cam, as they were going to break. It looked like he had just won the third point. So 3-2, he is now up as they go to a break. And, man, they will get this in, Cam. I thought that they were going to have a problem, but it doesn't seem like they're going to have an issue.
Well, this court's
finishing
got lights
that fifth
and a
set.
Roof.
This court has lights and a roof. Other stuff that happened NBA free agency-wise, we went through pretty much everything yesterday. Duncan Robinson, 3 years, $48 million with Detroit. Detroit, of course, lost some shooters because Tim Hardaway Jr. went to Denver. Yep. Malik Beasley's going to jail. So Duncan Rob, they needed somebody that can actually shoot. That's just true. So they get Duncan amazing in there. And we love Dunk. So Dunk's going to be in Detroit now.
Hey, I like this Piston team. You know, they got a lot of guys. Great call by you. Duncan Robinson, hot and cold shooting, but they need those extra points. And I think it'll be a good fit for them. I got no problem with it.
Trey Mann getting 3 years and $24 million with Charlotte. Trey Mann. Spencer Dinwiddie, a one-year deal with Charlotte. Charlotte has really tried to change a lot of their team. I don't know how well it's going to go for them.
I don't know Charlotte if the changes they're making are that great. But anyway,
I don't know how well it's going to go for them. But they have made a lot of changes to their roster. We'll see what happens for them.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson Jr. will be reevaluated in 12 weeks. He had surgery to repair turf toe. That's not bad, Cam. It's a good deal. They give you a $240 million contract. You go rip up his foot and get the turf toe injury you got to have
excellent
surgery on. Not a bad life. Not bad at all for Jaren Jackson.
I can really
Jackson
use a
Jr.
plan like that, Carver.
You've had that turf toe before, right, Cam?
I've had a lot of things.
Nasty case of the turf toe.
Very hard to deal with. Yes.
Very tricky with the turf toe getting in there. All right, there you go. Some NBA for you. I have some NHL later, too, including smiles ear to ear for Mitch Marner in Vegas yesterday as he was introduced as a member of the Golden Knights. We will do that after finish up Golf Wednesday with Keith Stewart from Read the Line. The Tractor Tournament Let's go. The John Deere. Gotta have it out at the Quad Cities. We'll come back and see you, Keith Likes, coast to coast after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Wednesday, a golf Wednesday on C2C. And Keith Stewart from Read the Line is with us every week as we get ready for this week's PGA Tour event. Of course, we head to Middle America, the Quad Cities, the Tractor Tournament, the John Deere, a tradition unlike any other, with, you know, as good a field as you could possibly get at the John Deere. But Keith is with us as always. Hi, Keith. How are you?
Mike, you know, what's more American on the 4th of July week than the John Deere Classic in Silvis, Illinois? You know, and real quick on your point there about, you know, maybe there's not that strong of a field. The Rocket last week had their strongest field ever. And this week, the John Deere's had his strongest field in like 6 or 7 years. I mean, this summer schedule, it's a thing.
Well, you know what? And this actually, this is a nice, maybe we could branch off to something just for 2 or 3 minutes here, Keith, because I think you're onto something. Last week was a different field than we're used to seeing at the Rocket. And you do have guys here. Like I said to Cam earlier, Ben Griffin's played unbelievable golf. I don't think that he necessarily needs to play the Tractor Tournament this week. But you know what I do think he knows, Keith? I think he knows if he got a third win on the tour this year, there's no way they could keep him off that Ryder Cup team at Bethpage. And I think that that's what Ben Griffin's thinking about as he's in this field this week. And you have, I think that the way that they've structured things now, Keith, with the top 50 and the top 75 and these cards, I think that's what's making these fields better here in July.
Well, okay. So Ben Griffin aside, he should be on that team. He's on that team. But we could talk about the Ryder Cup and the captain's choices for another 8 weeks. The beauty of all of this is that, and I briefly alluded to this last week. We had 6 weeks left before the playoffs. We now have 5 tournaments left before the playoffs. And these guys that are in the middle, the guys that are ranked like between 50 and 100 in the world, they need to secure some spots. I mean, Ricky Fowler needs to secure a spot. Max Homa needs to secure a spot. You know, these guys need to get in the top 70 because we're losing 25 cards, right? We went from 125 down to 100. If you get in the top 70, your fall, you're watching football, you're tailgating, you're having a great time. If you get in the top 50, you're even happier, right? But the guys that are in that 70 to 125 range that got to play those 7 events in the fall and secure their card, and they're going to have to play multiple events unless they win one in order to do that, they are really taking their chances because the Korn Ferry graduates come out. We saw what happened with Matt McCarty last year. I mean, this thing's going to get super, super competitive, which is going to be fun for us to watch like these tournaments have been, like the Rocket was last week. But at the same time, these guys that have kind of like coasted their way into the summertime, this event, the 3M, the Barracuda, the ISCO, these things are going to become more and more strong, and they're going to become more and more important to these guys to the point where people are going to be watching, and they've proven it already.
There's going to be a lot of faces, as you said, at the 3M and at the Wyndham. And the Wyndham couple of years, because that's the last one, and I believe it still is this year. You know, that's the last chance saloon for a lot of these guys. So the fields are getting better because of them doing this. One thing on the Rocket, and I said this earlier. I said, listen very carefully to who Keith likes this week. Because when you have 2 guys out of 3 in a playoff on your card, and neither of them win, that means that you are about to completely knock the door over. So, Keith, I think people should listen carefully. You had Kirk and Gracerman last week, unfortunately, when Poltergeist won.
Yeah, they were both written up. I think we talked about Max 50 Shades of Gracerman here. But, yeah, Captain Kirk was also in my full card at Read the Line. You know, folks, if you're not there, you should be, because we are going to clean up this summertime. These tournaments, we know exactly what's going to happen, and we know who needs to play well. And you know, it worked out there. And just a little aside about what's going to happen with the Rocket Classic. I'm hearing rumors from the tour that that event's going to get pushed back because they're doing that massive renovation right now. And that, you know, they felt like the year timeline was going to be a little bit tight. So it's going to get pushed. There's a good chance that it replaces the Wyndham as the last event on tour before the playoffs next year, which would be really cool with a brand new golf course there. Detroit's really, like, the fans were great the other day. You know, obviously... obviously, the result, I felt a little Fleetwood-ish, but at the end of the day, we had Captain Keegan the week before, but I got to give credit to an event that's only been around 6 years. Those folks show up. Detroit is a golf city, and they're having a lot of fun with it. I did enjoy the event, Mike, overall.
Yes. Look, and it's different. Some people complain about, you know, minus 21, minus 22. Some people bellyache about that stuff. But you can't have U.S. Open every week. You know, you can't have it every week. There's going to be weeks like the Rocket. And it was fun. There was like 25 guys within three shots of the lead going into Sunday. I mean, that is craziness. I don't care what the score is. All right.
If you shot 10 under, you were one of 59 guys, right? 59 guys that made the cut, 10 under at the end of 4 days. You were double digits.
Nuts. We'll do your card on the other side. We got about a minute and a half here. Anything about the tractor this week? Do we got any weather concerns, any changes to the course, anything to worry about?
You know, I know you love the weather. I'll go there first. Looks like Saturday we're going to get some wind into fronts coming into Sunday. We're going to get rain on Sunday. Prior, though, to this, we've had the perfect amount of sun and grass-growing temperatures. The John Deere knows how to take care of a golf course. This place is as best as I've heard reports from multiple sources independently that have said this place is in as good a shape as ever, that there's going to be low scores because the greens are absolute perfection, a lot like what they get at Sanderson. You know, just... these guys are going to be rolling the rock. Get ready to go deep.
Get ready to go deep indeed here at Deer Run as they get going. We will come back, Heath, and we will get the card from you. And there's already one name I always love when we're all on the same, reading the same mail. And this guy's been excellent here. I can't wait to hear the dangerous Denny McCarthy. Can he finally break through and win an event here and get that putter rolling all weekend long like we know he can? Putter's usually not the problem for him, Keith, of course. It's getting there with a chance to use that dangerous putter. So we'll find out Keith's card at the Tractor Tournament, the John Deere, when we come back. Keith Stewart from Read the Line with us coast to coast on a Golf Wednesday. Carver High and Cam Stewart in for Scotty. We're back right after this on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back. Frel Coast to Coast on a Wednesday, a Golf Wednesday on C2C. Keith Stewart from Read the Line is with us as we get ready for the Tractor Tournament, the John Deere out at Silvis. All right, we said let's get the outrights going first, Keith. Of course, I mentioned before the break, reading the same mail, dangerous Denny McCarthy. Love to see him at the top of the card.
Well, you know what? You like to call him dangerous. I like to call him dirty. And when it's a tractor tournament, I'm always going for dirt. That's right. Denny McCarthy, plus 2,500. The number keeps dropping. You know, at the beginning of the week, he was in the mid-30s, and now he's down in the mid-20s. Everyone's reading the same mail as you and I are, Mike. The last three times he's been here, a sixth, a sixth, and a seventh, right? Over those three starts, he's gaining an average of 10 strokes on the field, right? An average of 10 strokes. He had a nice little quiet T12 there at Travelers, took a week off, and now he's back. And, you know, I spoke with the guys this morning on the early line, and one of my Keith's keys was that you got to love scramblers this week. And this is why guys like Denny McCarthy are so good here, because you got a lot of terrain changes at TPC Deer Run. This place is hilly. Last week was super flat. This place is hilly. And the guys that are good around the greens on these uneven lies, like a Denny McCarthy, always are able to distance themselves from the pack. And then you take his putter and you add it to it. Those are the types of guys I'm building out lineups and my outright card with. The second guy, New Jersey kid, Chris Goddard, plus 4,000, another price that's dropped huge since Monday. First time he played here out of college, Oklahoma, 2022, he's tied fourth. It's the 4th of July, whatever you want to take from that. He's first in the field, strokes gained off the tee, which is more important this week than last week. Last week, obviously, you saw the poltergeist. You could blast it anywhere, 380, and play from there. It's a little bit tighter challenge this week. In five straight events, Goddard's having one of the best stretches of his career. In five straight events, he's gaining off the tee and with the approach. The putter's a little shaky, but it was positive last week. Mark Mother Hubbard covered, whatever you want to say, plus 5,500, right? Here's a guy, he's 89th in the FedEx Cup points. We talked about this in the last segment. He needs points, right? He's got four top 15s in his last six regular tour events. No signature events, the last regular one. So when he has, when you're in an average field, Mark Hubbard is absolutely near the top of the leaderboard. He's contending on Sundays, right? He's got two top 15s in his last 3 years here at the Tractor Tourney. Par four scoring, all the above, wedge play, love him. And my last one, Sammy Valamaki, triple digits, 100-1, plus 10,000. Here's a guy. He gained six strokes with the putter at the Rocket, right? You got to putt this week. Better than you did last week at Detroit. You got to be able to, you got to be the boss of the moss this week on these greens over there at the John Deere, right? Last year, he gained over eight strokes on the field with the putter. He can go deep. You've seen it before. I know you always have him on your card on Thursdays. You're going to need a hot start this week. I love where Sammy Valamaki's at with his game. He can score a lot, and we're going to have to do it here.
Slamming Sammy always loves the birdie fests, so we'll see if Valamaki can get things going hot tomorrow. All right, some placements.
All right, real quick, top 10, I'm going with Jake Knapp. Now, these two tournaments for the last 2 years have been played back-to-back, and everyone says, well, with two scoring events, like, shouldn't the cards be exactly the same? Well, you know what? There's some trends there, right? 2 years ago, it was three guys. Last year, it was five guys, right? This year, we've got seven guys from the top 10 last week that are here. I think Jake Knapp is very comparable for both places, and he's playing great. Top 10 for him. Top 20, Chris Kirk, for all the reasons above, and because he owes me money from that playoff on Sunday. And then I'm also going with a kid. I'm going with one of the Cootie brothers, all right? And the reason being is that this kid has been on fire on the Korn Ferry Tour. And when he comes up here, Charles Schwab, T16, CJ Cup, T25, and he's got four straight top 12 finishes on the Korn Ferry Tour. So Pearson Cootie, for him, top 20. And then my top 40 guys, Nico Echevarria and Cam Champ. Cam Champ, we were betting last week, finished T19 as an outright, triple digits. What was he? 125-1. And then, of course, Echevarria, he's coming into form. And when Echevarria plays good, like he did last fall and he won, then he came back, he goes 6, 29, second, right? I feel like another top 40 is an easy win for us.
I almost fell down when I saw that Cootie outright number on Monday morning when the board came up. Oh. He was way up the board, that Pearson Cootie. All right, head-to-heads.
Head-to-heads, how about Denny again over Ryan Gerard? Ryan Gerard, he should be a perfect fit for this place if you didn't have to putt. The poor guy, I mean, he's losing as many strokes as you can over the course of 72 holes versus the field with the putter. I'm taking Denny for all the reasons listed above. And then I'm going Hubbard over Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler, you know, he's really pressing right now. He needs to get in the playoffs. He needs to start playing some really solid golf. He missed the cut last week. The putter hasn't been good. He's been shaky with the iron play. Therefore, I'm going with Hubbard over Fowler and a McCarthy over Gerard.
Keith Stewart from Read the Line. We'll see you next week. We go across the pond for the Scottish. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back from coast to coast on a Wednesday. Carver High and the Prime Minister Cam Stewart in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great job there by Keith as we get Golf Wednesday cooking. So not bad. You talk about reading the same mail, Cam, which we, of course, always love when that happens on Golf Wednesdays. Keith came in strong. He's got McCarthy, got her up and get him down. Mark put the Hubbard in the cupboard. And he's got Valamaki at 100-1 for the outright, too, Cam. Look at that. Slamming Sammy's going after this week.
A lot of people that I respect like Valamaki this week, and he's one of those guys. He has those tournaments where he can do well, and It's a birdie fest, and that equals that's Valimaki territory. And I'll tell you another thing about Hubbard. He's another guy that can go low. And let's remember, Hubbard's been playing a little bit better recently too. He's one of those guys that you've seen him appear on leaderboards, right? Like, he's just like some of the guys, like, you know what I mean? Like, Hubbard is a very, very good golfer. He's just got to get that putter going. And Keith looks pretty happy, Carver. He invited us to golf at his club. I bet it's a pretty nice place. I could tell you, I wish maybe one day we'll go.
Fritz ended up winning that match with Diallo.
Yeah.
Cam, they did finish it off. So a 5-set win for Taylor Fritz. And then they showed like the bracket for Wimbledon afterwards, because there's been so many upsets on Fritz's like quadrant that he's in. I don't think I've ever seen one of those names before in my life of the guys that are moving on. Like, Fritz should at minimum, if he's gets his head straight, I was going to say quarters, but yeah, I think even semis, he should at minimum get there, because he's the best player. I mean, he's the fifth seed. Most of the seeds have been wiped out on Fritz's side of the draw over there.
Yeah, he's going to play the winner of that Vanden Jaschoop match and the other guys. Like, look at these guys, Fokina. And, like, are you kidding me?
In his like little quadrant that they had up, like no Alcaraz, no Sinner, no Djokovic, like all those guys are nowhere near him. Like, he should be able to roll off a couple of wins here. And I know he's had a couple 5-set scares, but maybe he can get himself cooking a little bit and get on a run. All right, I've got some hockey now for you too, Cam, because as we always say here on Coast to Coast, everybody does love hockey. And I was glad I was having you today, because I watched that Mitch Marner introduction in Vegas, and me and Gabe talked about it a little bit earlier. I thought it was hilarious because, A, you could tell he had been like planning his escape for months. Like, you know, he was talked about how he talked to guys at the Four Nations. You know, he got a lay of the land for living in Vegas. The team's had championship pedigree. All these great things. This guy was smiling ear to ear yesterday as he threw on that Vegas Golden Knights sweater and got as far away from Toronto as humanly possible. Here is Mitch Marner.
I mean, obviously the winning regimen they've put up through the last 5 years, of really since they've been in the league. Got such a competitive team every year, got such good players here. You know, the living arrangements, from talking to Pat Rady and Revo just through the last couple weeks. You know, it seemed like everything was a pretty good fit for my wife and I and our new son. And, yeah, the winning aspect of this team really helped in everything as well. And, you know, the great players they have here. So, lucky enough, it all worked out. And, you know, this is where we wanted to be.
I know people, Cam, and you'd be able to attest to this more than I can, but because I'm only getting it from the social media aspect of it, which, as you know, anywhere can be completely overblown, because you never know if that's like the real feel of what is actually going on with the population. It seems like everyone in Toronto is extremely pissed off at Marner about all of this, about basically plotting to go to Vegas for months, and that that's where he wanted to go. But let's be fair here, Cam. Can you really blame the guy?
No.
I mean, can you really blame the guy? I said to Gabe earlier, it's like you're going from a situation where you've got 30 to 40 microphones in your face every single night, win, lose, or draw, from the opening day of training camp to the last day of the season, where every single night is live or die, like it's game 7 of the Stanley Cup final, and you're going to be the fall guy no matter what. You and Matthews, and you know, you're, no matter what happens, you're all going to take the brunt of the fans and the media. And now, Cam, he gets to trade all of that in for $12 million bucks. 2 or 3 microphones in his face, and the life of Riley in Sin City, Las Vegas. Yeah, hard to blame the guy, Cam, to be quite honest with you. Hard to blame.
Know what it is? Know what it is, too, Carver? I'm not one of these guys, but the arrogance of the organization. Like, everybody wants to play for you. You are the be-all and end-all. Let me tell you something, as a Leaf fan, nobody does it better in Montreal. For ceremonies, whatever. I tell Gabe this all the time. He knows this. He covered the team, and I've covered the Leafs. The Leafs, it's a stressful environment. I've talked to guys who played in the league, have gone to other teams that were happy to leave Toronto. I'm not saying, you know, it's great to play for them when things are good, when things are bad. Very similar to the Yankees. You know what I mean? It's like there's other places around too. It's like, but the problem is these guys are serious as a heart attack. Look at that. Look at when Marner left, they have cheerleaders. They have the Gila monster for the kid. And he's like going through, hey, pom poms, the Leafs, all you microphones, stress, whatever. Like everything in Toronto too, Carver, let me tell you, as a fan, it feels fabricated. They need, it's just one of those things. It's like, man, like would you blame a guy? That's why guys go to Florida. That's why guys go to Vegas and Dallas, the no tax too. It's like, it's not easy playing in this city because there's so much negativity around it too. Guy's got a young kid. He says, let's get out of Dodge. So I don't blame him. I'll tell you one thing. The Leafs aren't going to be as good without Marner. One of the best assist guys. He sets everybody up. So now what? They get worse? Probably. Like it's a problem.
And let me tell you this too. And I'll get this out there in the open as well, because the Islander fans took a lot from the Toronto media and the Toronto fans, calling the Islander fans classless after how they treated Tavares and all of those things for him leaving for Toronto. And I get it, Cam. There's some different situations there. Tavares is from Toronto. I mean, Marner was from Toronto, and he left Toronto to go somewhere else. So I think it is funny, shoe on the other foot, that after what they, how they acted towards Islander fans being upset, and rightfully so, that Tavares went and ran up to Toronto, and how, they're booing him. Why are you booing him? Why are you, blah, blah, blah. I want to see the Marner reception when he comes to Toronto next year, the one time with Vegas. I want to see I can't wait to see the Marner reception, because will it be as bad as the Tavares reception was in the Nassau Coliseum that night? And I was in the building that night. It was unbelievable. It probably won't be that like that, but I guarantee you they're going to boo the hell out of him, Cam. Guaranteed.
I'll tell you one thing, too. The media twists this thing. They're the ones who say, oh, he left and he did this. But you did nothing to help the guy stay either. This organization wanted to trade him and such. Like, I don't understand the ire of the people. And I'm a Leaf fan. If you treated me like that, too, maybe I'd leave. If I got a better job offer, I'd bolt. I'm in Vegas. I'm making tons of money. I got a young family. The taxes are better. Like, it's one of those situations, less pressure. What isn't there to like? And they're already a contender. You know, it's like, give me a break.
I'm telling you, Matthews is sitting at his house right now going, oh, my God, I'd love to be out of this situation as well. Like, look at how stress-free this guy's life is going to be. He can't wait to get that snow shack up in the Utah mountains like 5 years from now. He can't wait to go and get offered a boatload of money from the Mammoth and go get himself a ski resort up in the mountains of Utah and get away as far away from the city of Toronto as possible. He can't wait for that day to come. Oh, it is what it is, Cam. One day the Leafs will win again. I don't know when that day is.
I don't know about that, Carver, but you know what it is? The media here needs to settle down and just relax and stop being dicks to everybody, and maybe some people would stay. Like, you know what I mean? I know guys from the area, they wanted to leave. It's like, I can't deal with this crap anymore.
It's a very big part of it, that's for sure. Pharrell, Coast to Coast, we'll come back. I've got one or two other hockey things, and then we've got the Gold Cup tonight. Couple of games there, the semis, as we move along with the soccer. Lots more to do, Coast to Coast. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back for a Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High and Cam Stewart in for Scotty. Of course, he'll be back next week. Fourth of Pharrell here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Speaking of the Fourth of Pharrell, Cam's with me tomorrow. And don't you worry. I know Cam has plays for the Nathan's Fourth of July hot dog eating contest. I know that he has them. And he will unleash them tomorrow here on Coast to Coast. You will get those from Cam, as I know Joey Chestnut's back in the field, but that's not going to slow Cam down. We're going to get very involved.
Can anybody step up? It's like what I'm talking. Can anybody step up and say, Joey, I'm ready as the human regurgitator to battle you and to at least give somebody like the spread on Chestnut compared to everybody else. Like, is there a contender out there, Carver? It's like
somebody can do it.
I'm praying.
Now, here's who's left on the board, Cam, for the NHL. I wanted to give you this today because there's one name, I guess, of significance, which, of course, is this Ehlers, who was with the Jets last year. So he's taken his time, which is extremely rare, by the way, for NHL free agency. Usually, if you don't have a deal within 24 hours, you suck. But Ehlers is taking his time, and he's weighing all of his options. He's available. Dmitry Orlov, Suter, Roslovic, Anthony Beauvillier. I mean, these are the top remaining free agents.
It's
Anthony
Beauvillier.
I mean, yeah. Matt Greslick, Pacioretty, Victor Olofsson, Mason Appleton. These are
what
who
are
we're waiting
on.
Skinner.
James Reimer. Me and Morenci make more saves than Red Light Reimer these days. Like, what is happening here?
Like, it's the thing is, Cam, brutal. Look. The problem is, it wasn't a great free agent class to begin with, and 75% of the players that were decent re-signed with their teams before July 1st, especially all the Florida guys the day before. You knew the Marner deal was happening. Kane went back to Detroit. You had all these guys make moves before noon on July 1st, and that's where you're left with, really, it's just the Ehlers now, wherever he goes. That's all that anybody's waiting on.
And Ehlers is kind of like, you know what I mean? He's a good, like, point guy, kind of a one-trick pony.
He's a
you know
good
what I
player.
Mean? But
he's good.
He's probably the best Danish player, you know.
Carolina is going to overpay him, is what's going to happen. Carolina is going to overpay Ehlers because they have been, Rantanen really screwed them. They thought that they were trading for Rantanen, and they gave up assets. And I know they got some guys back going the other way, but. They thought they were getting that guy with Rantanen and they were going to re-sign him. And when they did it, now, I don't think Ehlers is on that same level. No. He's probably a level or two below, but, all in all, that's what they're going for. Also, I wanted to show you this. Vegas is now up to the third choice for next year. There it is. Vegas, 850. And thankfully they finally put Florida at the top. As me and Scotty said the other day,
Carolina?
Florida should be the favorite for the cup until someone next year in the playoffs beats them, and then they're not the favorite anymore. That's it. They've gone 3 years in a row. They've won the last two. Carolina should not be above Florida on any Stanley Cup odd board. Nobody should, Cam, until they lose. They've reached that level, and now bringing back all those guys, they really shouldn't drop anywhere on that board because they will coast regular season. They did it this year. They will coast regular season. They don't care about home ice. Doesn't matter to them. They will beat you in the playoffs, though. They've shown you that over the last 3 years.
They're brilliant. You could have got Vegas at maybe 11 and 12 and some like offshores or whatever, now down to plus 850. Marner's there. They're already one of the better teams in the league. Man, Carver, that West is tough. I guess we got to be happy for one thing, you and an Islanders guy, me as a Leaf guy, that we don't have to deal with like the teams in the West. Like, a Dallas, Colorado, Edmonton, the Kings are going to be good. Like, there's a million other teams. Vegas, that's the whole thing. And you're right. Florida is the favorite. And the fact that they used to put Toronto and Carolina up in, like, the 2 and 3 hole, it's like, are you guys stupid? No. Carolina, every year, it's the same old story. Oh, the Canes. What do? They lose in the playoffs, just like Toronto does. They never get through. You're right, Carver. Panthers, top of the food chain. They always deliver. End of story.
And one last thing, because this just came across my desk, and because I'm an Islander fan, I'm at liberty to say it. The Islanders have had a pretty good week. They had the first pick in the draft. They got two other kids at 16 and 17 who fell down to them. You know, they're making some moves. Maxim Shabanov. You ever hear that name before, Cam? This guy was a really good player in the KHL, the Garage League, last year over there in Russia. He's coming over, a sought-after KHL free agent who was being courted by several teams. He's going to sign with the Islanders, Cam. How about that? The Islanders get the KHL cast off Shabanov there. He had point per game last year. He had 23 goals, 44 assists in 65 games. He had 20 points in 20 playoff games in the KHL. He had 10 goals. Looks like a little offensive weapon. Man, the Islanders could use that. That would be a big plus for them if that guy.
I'm going to tell you, I think the Islanders are doing some really good things. I think the new GM is a good hire because, you know what I mean? It's one of those under-the-radar, not-part-of-the-boys-club hires, smart, and going to get things done. That's the bottom line. I'm so sick and tired of the recycled garbage. Now you bring in a guy that deserves a job, and now we have to build this thing. Are they going to be good next year? No. but at least you can build something and then have some assets, even if you need to trade away and build again and get really good. Take a look at the Sharks and the Ducks and other teams like that. So I think the Islanders are going in a very positive direction.
That's the way to turn around your franchise, Cam. You have to sign a good French-Canadian guy, French-Canadian kid, Matthew Darche. You got to get Matthew Darche, French-Canadian, in there, and that'll solve all your problems right out of the gate. Nice job by the Islanders. All right, Cam, I have got for you, we will finish the show with a flurry because I know that you are loaded up for this Gold Cup tonight. I know you and Gabe tonight are going to be all over this Gold Cup, and, you know, the Gold Cup has basically just become like a street fight. Like, who can actually stand up and not, because all they do is beat the hell out of each other the entire 90 minutes in this Gold Cup. So the United States and Guatemala, they'll play first in St. Louis, and Mexico and Honduras will play the second game in Santa Clara out at Stonewash Levi's there where the Niners play. So we'll give you those numbers, and then I've got a couple of other stories to finish things off. Maybe not as crazy as the ones that Scotty finishes with every day, the Ferrella finish, but I've got a couple worthy of finishing the story with. Ferrell Coast to Coast here on a Wednesday. Carver, I, and Cam for Scotty. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Ferrell Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High and the Prime Minister, Cam Stewart, in for Scotty. Me and Cam will be back tomorrow, by the way. Heading you into the 4th of Ferrell weekend. We got a lot on tap tomorrow. Tons of baseball, hot dog eating contest. It's all going to be happening tomorrow.
First Wimbledon. Round meters, Carver? Maybe you could go into 4th of July with a little bit of money for the BBQ.
Me and Cam on during the first round leader sweat, coming down the stretch, right? Because they'll probably finish right about when we're getting off. We're going to have an idea of who the first round leader is. That is entertainment in itself, especially if we have somebody in the mix.
If we have the guy in second and the guy in first and he like triple bogeys, you might see absolute carnage. Like, we'll go nuts.
It's possible. Gold Cup tonight. Possible. United States against Guatemala. They're huge favorites, minus 470 in the 90-minute line, 10-1. I've even got up to 11-1 for Guatemala. The draw in 90 minutes is up to 5-1. USA minus 1,200 to advance to the next round. As far as the other game is at night in Santa Clara, Mexico is minus 340 against Honduras, and also 9-1 for them. Cam, it's got to be USA and Mexico, right? Yeah. Or do you think that you'll get an upset? Like, you know, Canada got stumbled by Guatemala in the last round.
It could be a draw in one of the games. But what I'm looking for is that Honduras-Mexico game. I like the over 2.5 goals. Canada beat Honduras quite handily when they played them, and I think Mexico can do the same. I love the USA in this spot. The question is, Guatemala is probably going to want to play very defensive. But I did a three-team parlay here. I got Mexico, USA and over 2.5 goals in Mexico, Honduras at plus 156. That's my three-game parlay.
Right,
plus money. And I just don't want to, like, that's the problem. USA, I gotta lay 470. I gotta, like, these are crazy games, but I expect Mexico and USA to win, but I do like goals in the Mexico-Honduras game.
Okay, hopefully we can get a few because there's been a lot of low-scoring games in that tournament
right.
We'll do a lot of Wimbledon tomorrow. I'll save you the men's and the women's odds for then. A couple of other stories for you. Not as, I will say, these don't go as deep into the Ferrella finish as Scott usually does, but at least good enough for me to do at the end. Bills first-round pick, rookie cornerback Maxwell Hairston, accused of sexual assault in a civil lawsuit. Now, he has had these problems for a while. This happened in 2021. There were no charges filed against him. I guess now this is going the civil route. I do remember when he was drafted, Brandon Bean said that he had done all his vetting and crossed all his dotted all his I's and crossed his T's and didn't seem like he was going to have an issue. But lo and behold, a civil lawsuit gets slapped against him. So the Bills first rounder, Cam, going to have some legal troubles to go along with the start of his NFL career.
That's the last thing you guys need. That's the last thing you guys need, man. Like, we need a clean sheet here. Come out of the gate hot. We're almost at training camp. Like, I'm sorry, Carver. That sucks.
Well, you know what, Cam? That's the last thing anyone needs. to start right here. Nobody needs that at all, anytime, no matter when it is. The Seattle Storm will unveil a statue of Sue Bird outside the Climate Pledge Arena there in Seattle next month. Congratulations to Sue. At least she gets a statue. I know they won't be building any for Caitlin Clark anytime soon, anywhere in the WNBA. So at least Sue Bird going to get herself a statue outside the Climate Pledge. And finally, did you see that the Diamondbacks, that guy who keeps catching the interfering with the home run balls out in left center field, did you see this Joker, Cam? They threw him out the other night. They've banned him for the rest of the season. He's a season ticket holder in the front row in left center field. That was like the fourth or fifth time he interfered with a home run ball, and they've had enough. I mean, throwing the guy out, Cam, he's a longtime season ticket holder. You can't just move him back 10 rows, you know, make him sit away from the wall.
It's a good
throw him out altogether.
But he's a menace to society at multiple times. They're just basically, we don't even want you around there, dude. But I'm with you. Like, if you're going to lose the money that the guy's bringing in, but they're just like, this guy's an absolute tool, so we want him gone.
They must have. I bet you they've had problems with him in the past, even beyond.
Yeah, he seems like a real, not his first offense. Eating other people's food, out. Drinking their beers, you know, roughhousing.
Get him out. Exactly. Take him completely down. Like I said, Cam, we'll be back tomorrow. Me and you have a lot to do with the tractor tournament and Wimbledon, and we have some afternoon baseball. Enjoy all the games tonight, including the Gold Cup and the baseball. Let's get some big flies this evening, especially that Put It With The Golf with Patrick Reed with the Pete Crow Armstrong that we're going to have. Great job by Cam Stewart. Great job, of course, by Luke and Frank and the crew. Great job by Keith Stewart and Gabe. For Out Coast to Coast, Front Office Sports is next. See you tomorrow.